This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Good morning. With education being at or near top of mind for people these days, as we try to figure out when school will go back, if it should go back, etc., in the middle of all of that, I took the somewhat cynical attitude that I've heard some politicians use. Rahm Emanuel of Chicago said it once when he was mayor. I don't think that he came up with it. Don't let a good crisis go to waste. And the whole point of it is sometimes during a crisis, you can get people to change their mind on how things work. And I have lost lobbied for some time for school choice. The money follows the child. A voucher system, however you want to term it. And I mentioned it earlier this week, but more extensively, I wrote a column for the Sun newspapers on this. And, you know, I'm hearing so often from parents who are saying, well, my kids go to a private school and they were up and running on online learning right away. There's this idea that only rich kids go to private school. It's not true. It is difficult for parents who aren't wealthy to be able to afford to pay their taxes into the school system and then come up with even more money that is not tax deductible in order to pay the tuition for a private school, which can be as low as $4,000 or $5,000 a year. That's still a whack of money, and it can be all the way up to $50,000 a year. But whatever it is, the choice in schools ought to be more in the hands of parents and kids than it is at the moment. And then as a result of that column I wrote, I heard from an organization called CARDIS, and the education director of CARDIS is David Hunt, and they believe flexible education is a direction we should go in the age of disruption. David Hunt, good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jerry.
Good to have you. How would you define to a listener what you mean by flexible education? Just another term for what I'm talking about?
Yeah, sort of, but I'd actually go beyond what you've said. Now, if your listeners haven't read the article you wrote, it was excellent. But instead of just a voucher system, why don't we go beyond that and have something that's, first of all, voluntary, where you opt into it. A voucher system typically is not voluntary, but also something that's flexible, where the parents can decide how they want to use that fund. So maybe, as we're seeing with this pandemic, maybe parents don't actually want to have their kids in any school. Maybe they want to raise them at home, teach them at home, or even what you're seeing emerge all over the place right now, or what are being called pandemic pods or micro schools, where families are pooling resources together, 3-8 families, to hire a teacher and have their own little micro school. That could be an option too.
Sure. Homeschoolers, and especially when it gets to the level of high school, let's say, run into the issue of, I don't really think I can teach the kids calculus, so they make arrangements with a professor or somebody who can, and a bunch of homeschool kids will come together and take calculus classes from that teacher, be given a bunch of homework, and come back next week, and let's see how you did, and we'll pick it up and answer your questions, etc. So, because homeschool parents don't want their kids ignorant of the things that they need to learn. That's not the case. I think there are all kinds of ways we could make this happen. But the first immense roadblock we have to get over, and you know this, is just to get people's heads out of the idea that only one big one-size-fits-all public education system suffices.
Yes, exactly. We got to reimagine what public education is. And the way we like to think of it is all education is public education, because it's not just the student who benefits from it. It's not just one family who benefits from someone's education. It's all of society. We all have an interest in education. So we need to start thinking of it that way. So whether that's an independent school, whether that's a charter school, Catholic school, or even home-based education, or this new phenomenon of micro schools, all of that really is public education, because all of it benefits the public. It's in all of our interest. That is across the board, it's excellent education being delivered to all children.
The thing that I find highly frustrating, David, is the number of people who come back at me during these kinds of discussions thinking that this is some sort of sop to the rich. The people who suffer the most are the poor, who have no choice. If they have the worst school in the city in their neighborhood, that's where their kids go.
Yes, exactly. And also, feeding off of that, so take, again, this micro school pandemic pod phenomenon, where a recent poll, I think it was Manu's Blue, who released it the other day, looking at, I think, something like 40% of Ontario parents are seriously considering not putting their kids into school. Okay,
right.
Well, if you're a middle or upper middle class family, you can afford to figure out other options. But if you're a lower income family, you're screwed. And that's what a program what we're proposing, where you're directly funding the parents to make decisions. Who that would most impact is the low income families. You're saying, no, don't get left behind. You can have options too that the taxpayer rightfully should support and get behind.
Education Director of CARDIS is David Hunt. Are there other nations where they are doing more of what you and I are recommending?
Oh, big time. So often, the arguments that keep coming up in North America, they're always Canada versus U.S., Canada versus U.S., public sector versus private sector. When you just go around the globe, like almost every country that's an advanced country has a pluralistic education system where there's many ways to be educated. And again, like I said earlier, where all education is considered public education. Best example, the Netherlands. You have 36 totally different types of schools and school systems that students can go through. Some of them are called, quote-unquote, Steve Jobs schools because they're focused on technology and innovation in STEM. There's a whole range of schools based on what the needs of the children are and the learning styles of kids, because not every kid fits the one-size-fits-all, the big monolithic system. We need lots of options. It's common in Europe, common around the world, but it seems to be a foreign concept here.
Yeah. The way I always push this, David, is publicly funded, but not necessarily publicly run education.
Exactly. And again, like I said earlier, the public has an interest, so there should be taxpayer funding for it. But as in with so many things, the government isn't necessarily the best administrator of that. So we don't need government-operated schools. We need taxpayer-funded schools where we allow self-organizing communities, civil society, to then fill that gap. And I understand a lot of the union arguments. There are some good arguments there saying, hey, but we don't want the business sector to come in and for only market solutions and education. There's some good arguments there because education, market solutions may not be the best thing, but neither are government solutions. There is a third option in that self-organizing communities. It's civil society. And that's what we're seeing right now with micro schools and pandemic pods, whether the government likes it or not.
Well, and that's where during the time that we're in right now, if that micro pod system could work, then it's fair to say, no. We don't want another 5 years of you studying this. Do it now.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And that's what parents are demanding. A poll, Insights West out in British Columbia, showed that 27% of parents are fiercely opposed to schools reopening. 27% are strongly in favor. So it doesn't matter if what the government decides. If they're going to play a zero-sum game here, you're going to alienate and mobilize a large share of families against you, and that's going to have electoral consequences. Take the third option, allow the money to follow the student, give it directly to parents, and everyone could do what's best for their family.
Yeah, whenever people argue against this, unless they come up with a reasonable argument, and I've seen very few, especially when they bring up the rich, I'm asking, what do you got against the poor? That's who we're trying to help here. Rich people can look after themselves. We're not worried about them.
Yes, exactly. And two, feeding off that as well, there's these misconceptions as well around independent schools, where in Ontario specifically, two-thirds of independent school families have made major sacrifices to be able to afford tuition, whether that's downsizing their home, working multiple jobs, taking out a loan, etc. And I think it's, 75% of independent school parents in Ontario went to public schools themselves. So these aren't these elite bastions of privilege at independent schools. It's regular, ordinary, middle-class families who value it. But there is, as you said, there's one group that's left out, and it's the lower-income families. And that's exactly what you suggested in your article and what I suggested in the research I've done. The ones we're trying to help, it's the low-income families, so they can have the quality education that middle-class families have access to.
The Education Director of CARDIS is David Hunt. CARDIS is CARDUS. Their website is CARDIS.ca. David, good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. Bye for now.
Apparently, the internet is ruining homework. Well, that's what one article says, and I'm going to delve into that with you and see if you agree and what to do about it. It's 11:45.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.